You know, the thing I love about the resurrection, about Easter, is like, for us as, who have that relationship with Jesus Christ, we don't have to be afraid of dying anymore. And sometimes we think, wow, what's going to happen when I die or if I get sick? And it's like, for us, like, man, to die is to gain, because when we die, we'll be in paradise with our Savior. And I think that hope is so wonderful. I mean, if you ever gone to funerals where you know the person was a Christian and they were saved, you see a lot of rejoicing because of the hope that they have in Jesus Christ. Versus you go to a funeral where somebody wasn't saved or they wasn't sure, man, there's a lot of sadness because there's no hope. I mean, I love the fact that we get to celebrate Easter with family, with friends, and lots of food. And, you know, part of my favorite part is the candy, which I'm not supposed to be eating, but I did binge last week in my office. I had those little robin eggs, and I didn't realize that I was eating all this candy. And the next day, I had to take my labs. I was like, oh, stupid, man. And I was going to the doctor like, oh, man, that was a bad move. I ate all this candy, and now I got to go do my test. And it was like, that was a bad thing, but I survived. You know, Easter, the Easter celebration has so much meaning. And if you look behind the scenes of the colored eggs and the family gathering, I believe it started when Jesus decided to come to earth. You know, we needed a Savior because we were trapped in our sins with no escape. And for these disciples, they were following Jesus for some 3 years. And, you know, on Good Friday, I cannot imagine what they must have been going through to see they're watching their Savior get nailed to a cross. I mean, could you imagine the pain? And not only that, but his back was all whipped and raw, and he was hanging there. They say that when you're on the cross and you're extended and you're sagging, you cannot breathe. But then when you push up on your legs, the pain from the nails, you know, you just can't push yourself enough to catch a breath. That's why if they didn't die right away, they broke their legs so that they would suffocate. And it's like, I wanted to actually put a cross that we could try and hang on and see how it feels, but I thought that would pretty be gruesome, and we don't want to do that. But I can't imagine what these 12 guys was going through, because, you know, Jesus was telling them that he's going to die, but I don't think they really understood what was going on. And then when he got crucified, they crucified him, then they took him down, they put him in the tomb, and then, you know, Friday night, Saturday night, there was behind closed doors, like, what are we going to do now? They killed Jesus. And they were probably frightened, probably felt hopeless. And then Jesus, Sunday morning, when they go to the tomb, he's not there. And then they think that they stole his body, when actually he rose from the grave. And that is just an incredible story. He robbed the grave. The tomb could not hold him. And then, you know, he appears to them later on. And then he ascends to heaven, and leaving us the Holy Spirit to empower us. And because of the events of Easter, of the crucifixion, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have this incredible hope. And I hope so kind of hope. You know when you ask somebody, hey, can you cook dinner? And you kind of, I hope they do. You know, when, if you need a ride or you need somebody to do something for you, and you have this kind of hope, well, I hope so, with a question mark on the end. You know, like when we schedule fishing things, it's like I hope so kind of a thing, because anything can happen last minute where I cannot go. So it's a I hope so kind of a hope. But that's not the kind of hope that Jesus gives us. The kind of hope he gives us is I know so kind of a hope. You know, like Sunday morning, there's a storm and there's raining and there's wind. But I know they're going to have a church service. It's a I know so kind of a hope. It's a confidence kind of hope. And that's the kind of hope that Easter brings. It's I know so kind of hope. I know that Christ rose from the dead. I know that he was crucified for my sins. I know that now I have life in Christ. Amen? In one of Peter's letters, he writes to various churches in Asia Minor. And they're going through some persecution. And Peter presents a theological basis for encouragement in the persecution. The stress throughout this section on God's grace towards believer is evidence of his sovereign call to salvation. And its result in a believer's life, it's like we have hope. In the midst of trials, new birth is a source of living hope and a lifestyle of holiness. In 1 Peter 1, 3-9, and you can follow along on your bulletin, or you can follow along on the screen. Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power unto the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though for now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Man, if you need encouragement, Peter's words right here offer us joy and hope. When we're in times of trouble, he bases his confidence on what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. We live with this wonderful expectation of eternal life. And it's a I know so kind of hope. Yeah? Our hope is not only for the future. Eternal life begins when we trust Jesus Christ and join God's family. And God will help us remain true to our faith through whatever difficult times we must face. You see, the hope that Easter brings is this. Number one, death is not the end. You know, some people think when they die here, it's all over, it's done. This life is all there is. There's no life after death. But if you believe in what the Bible says, you think otherwise. If you believe that the scriptures are inspired by God and that the Bible is indeed without error and it does give us instructions that we need to gain new life through Christ Jesus, then you think differently. You live differently. you know that there is more than this life. And sometimes some of us, we look forward to the day that we die because we're at a point where our bodies are aching and are falling apart and we got sore backs, we get sickness, our hair is falling out, it's turning white, and we look forward to the day that we die here so that we would be with the Lord. And it's something that we hope for because of what happened on that first Sunday, the resurrection. Romans 8, 10 and 11. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, talking about our bodies, yet the spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. See, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit gives us a totally different life. The indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit is the identifying mark of a believer in Jesus Christ. And as a result of Christ's indwelling presence in our body, even though it's dead because of sin, it's alive because of righteousness. Because God imputed his righteousness, and we are alive spiritually. And Paul wrote about an even better promise. Since God raised Jesus from the dead, God promises believers in whom his spirit is living that he will also give us life to our mortal bodies through his spirit. We will all die someday unless Christ comes back before we get old and die. Some of us will die and we will be with God in heaven. And some of us will die and be separated from God. And I do not wish that on anybody. If you believe this and you have that relationship with Jesus Christ and have trusted him to be the Lord of your life, then death, it's not the end. It is not the end, but it is the beginning of a great, great adventure. Yeah? Remember back in the day when you were a teenager and you got your license? Man, it opened up a whole new door, man. You could go to the beach. You could go to corner. You could skip class. You could go to it open. You know, it's like when we die on a greater scale, man, a whole new place is opened up for us, a place called heaven. And that would be so exciting. You think getting your license was exciting? Wait till you get to heaven. Just like that first time I walked into Dodger Stadium, and I was like, wow. I was like just in awe. And then the voice said, you think this is good? Heaven is going to be so much greater. And it's like, wow. And I thought, wow, amen. It gives us hope. Man, can you imagine eternal life? Can you imagine no pain, no tears, no sorrow? Man, that is some great hope that we get. And it's not the I hope so kind of hope, but it's I know so kind of a hope. Amen? Hey, and we live and not die. And then another one, number two, Christians, we win. And Satan loses. Man, if you knew that the Broncos were going to win the Super Bowl, I know, kind of sad, yeah. Then you would know who to cheer for. And if you knew they were going to win, and if you didn't want them, then you just probably wouldn't watch. But I think we all want to be on the winning team, right? Who wants to be on the losing team? I don't think any of us want to be on the losing team. We all want to be on the winning team. And when you are on Christ's team, man, you're on the winning side. And you can say, I know so. Amen? How do we know this? Because it was foretold many, many years ago in the first book of the Bible. God told us what was going to happen in Genesis, in the creation. He wrote in Genesis 3:15, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. And he shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel." And I thought, man, when I read this a long time ago, I didn't understand that. But when I studied it a little more, this God spoke to that serpent, to Adam and to Eve. And God's word to that serpent announced that that snake was going to be crawling and eating dust. And it would be a perpetual reminder to mankind of the temptation and the fall. And God said that there would be a continual struggle between satanic forces and mankind. It would be between Satan and the woman and their respective offspring or seeds. The offspring of the woman was Cain, then all humanity at large, and then Christ and those who are collectively in him. The offspring of the serpent, that's the demons and anyone serving his kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, those whose father is the devil. Satan, he would cripple mankind when they said you will strike at his heel. But the seed, Christ, would deliver the fatal blow. He says, when you will crush his head. And God was saying that this was going to happen, that the devil is going to lose and Christ is going to win. God made gracious provisions. See, mankind, us humans, we will die and not live forever in this chaotic state. And children will be born that the human race will endure and continue. But the ultimate victory would come through Christ, the seed of the woman. And that's where you get that from Genesis, that that is what's going to happen, that Christ is going to win. The devil is going to bruise Christ on the heel, but Christ's heel is going to stomp him on the head. So that gives us a great hope that in Christ, man, we have victory, we have life, we have everything we need. Amen? And number three, the hope, forgiveness is offered. Why do we need forgiveness? Well, we were all born into sin. And the wages of sin is death. But Christ took all of that on the cross so that we don't have to die. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to and forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Man, if you ever had great debt and it was forgiven, you have experienced this kind of forgiveness on a small level. Compared to what God has forgiven us. That is, if you confess. In order to have this genuine relationship with God through Christ, something had to be done. Because the sin nature that we had separated us from God. And God had to make a way back. And that way back was the sacrificial lamb. He had to sacrifice Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came as the one and the final offering. The unblemished lamb shed his blood, took the weight of all of our sin, past, present, and future, on him, and he gave us life. He offered forgiveness to us because we were all doomed to die. But Jesus paid that price for us so that we can receive that forgiveness and move from death to life. Amen? Number four, a new life is offered. Man, back when I came to the Lord, I really, really needed a new life. My life was falling apart and was in chaos. And then when I found Christ, he offered me this brand new life, and I took it. Romans 5:10, "For if while we were enemies, We were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. God gave proof of his love by having Christ die in place of us. While we were yet sinners, because of the sinner's response by faith to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, God has declared righteous those unrighteous, and certainly now declared a righteous person, we will not be forsaken by God's love, which has been poured out for us. And since the divine dilemma of justification has been solved on the basis of Jesus' bloodshed, certainly Jesus Christ will see that justified sinners will be saved from God's wrath. Amen? And then number five, hope in Easter. It gives us a great future. I tell you, if we didn't have the resurrection, the crucifixion, we'd pretty much be here for nothing. It would just be a nice social gathering. There would be no future. Our preaching would be in vain because there would be no hope. 1 Corinthians 2:9-10. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. The blessing of salvation was prepared by the Father, carried out by the Son, and applied by the Spirit to all believers as a result of those who love God. Wouldn't it be a tragedy to die and not go to heaven? Some people think that because they are good people that and they never broke the laws that they're going to heaven. Unfortunately, the Bible tells us otherwise. John 17:3. Now this is the words of Jesus. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, capital U, Jesus, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. The word know here describes a personal relationship, a relationship of intimacy, which is ongoing, which is dynamic. Eternal life, as defined here by Jesus, involves the experience of knowing the only true God through his Son. So if a person knows God and has an intimate, personal relationship with him, and that relationship is eternal, not temporary. Eternal life is not simply endless existence. Everyone will exist somewhere forever. The question is, in what condition or in what relationship will they spend eternity? Jesus uses the church, you and I, because we are the church, to distribute hope. You are the church. You get to share the good news. As you celebrate Easter, remember that the great hope that we have because of Easter, because of what was done on the cross, we get to live with a great, great expectation of a great future in a great place called heaven. It's not like we're going to die and that's it, and our bodies are just going to rot and there's no future. Because the hope of Easter. That's why we make a big deal about Easter. You know why? Because it is a big deal. Amen? Amen. And If you are visiting us, that is great. Thank you so much for coming here and allowing us to share with you the hope that we have because of Easter. And we take that very, very seriously. Amen.